It is really good to be with you again, and it has been a while, and I can't even tell you how much I really was looking forward to getting back here, and so I'm very thankful for the invitation, and I was thinking a lot about what to share this evening, and I started thinking about, obviously, things to be thankful for, right? And one of the things that came to mind that I hadn't really put too much thought on, a lot of times we come across things that we ought to be thankful more for, and we just don't think of it all that much to be thankful about it. And one of those real obvious things is something like rain. And we just take it just so for granted. And when I've been reading through the scriptures, and there's this passage in the prophets where God talks about how he's going to hold the rain back. And they're going to run from one city to the next going after rain. And you just think about what happens if there's no rain. Well, there's nothing to drink. And if there's no rain, then the crops don't grow up. And you get hungry and you don't have the food that you normally eat. And I was just thinking about how much of a blessing rain is, and the windows of heaven being opened up, and God sending forth this treasure of rain. And how thankful we are for something like that. We just overlook it so easily. Then you have times like down south, wasn't it, just recently, where there's been such a lack of rain that even the government is saying, let's all come together and pray for rain. They said, you know, it's okay that we do this. This is the impression I got. It's okay we do this down here, down south. This is only a natural thing. It may not happen in New Jersey, but down there, you know, for them to come together and pray as a government, maybe it's a little bit more acceptable. But they see all of a sudden, hey, let's recognize who is it that brings the rain and how important this is. So there's things like that I definitely overlook. We ought to be thankful for. But my thoughts started to go into a different direction, and it might be a little bit of a different take on a Thanksgiving message than you might be accustomed to. So would you turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? I just thought I'd also tell you that I've been praying for you guys, keep you guys in prayer, and praying about our time together here this evening. So it'll probably be a good idea to pray once again. So why don't we do that? Our great God and our Father, we come before you, if not most of us, maybe even all of us here as your children. And we just rejoice in such a thing that we behold the measure of love that has made it possible for us to really be called the children of God. And so we draw near to a holy, righteous, awesome, and powerful God and call you Father. And we just rejoice in this. We draw near with boldness and in great gladness of heart. And so we make our petition before you tonight, Father. We just ask that by your word and through your spirit, you would just speak to us. Challenge us where challenge is needful and stir us up where that's needed, but encourage us as well. Father, we look to you for these things. Where else would we place our eyes but to you? And so we ask these things from you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King. And it's in his name that we pray, and for his name's sake even. Amen. Well, you know, I learned a little something important in studying for this evening. I had an idea that I had wanted to pursue in the Scriptures. And it was an idea based on an understanding that I've gotten just reading the Scriptures. Sometimes you have this idea that the Scriptures teach something, and then you go to make sure, let me see if this is true. And I'm pretty sure it's true. And indeed, I found it to be true, and I want to share some of that with you this evening. But there was also something else I learned that was really new, and that usually happens too. So to share something that I knew the Scriptures already taught, but then in doing so, I learned something new. You see, as I would go to, and some of you would definitely would understand this, as I go to prayer for my brothers and sisters, sometimes there'd really be a distinction in my prayers. For example, and these are two real people that I'm going to name, but I picked people that I know you don't know, so don't even think that you know these two people. But they're real people, and this is how I would really pray for them. They don't live anywhere around here, so... Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for David. I thank you for his faith and his diligence. I thank you for his love for you and for his desire to serve you. He has such a zeal, Father. I thank you for the grace that you have given to him and for the example he is not only to unbelievers, but also to his brothers and sisters. And I pray that you would encourage him and strengthen him. I pray that he might continue to grow in his faith and in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I think also of Amy. That's not this Amy. That's one to make sure. I also pray for Amy. Dear Father, how my heart aches to see her walking in fellowship with you. I pray that you would speak to her heart and that it would open up to take heed to your word. I pray that you would draw her unto yourself and have mercy on her. I pray for a measure of healing from the things that she has done to herself and the damage that has been incurred on her mind, the scars, Father. I just pray that you would heal her and give her life. Encourage her, I pray, and give to her your love, grace, and peace. Now there's a distinction there between those two prayers, and you might be able to pinpoint a few things there. The general overall feel that might be different. There's one thing, though, I want to point out this evening, is that I gave thanks for David, didn't I? I gave thanks for him, and there was so much to be thankful for with David. And this is the initial idea that I had thought to bring this evening, and that's what we'll speak of in just a little bit. Having cause to having your brethren easily giving thanks for you. But for Amy, I didn't express any thanks to God in regard to her. Basically, my prayer for her was centered in grief. It was brought forth out of sadness. For indeed, there was really not much to be thankful for in her life. Rather, there was a whole lot to really be sad about. At times I have written cards to brethren that are like David, and there's so very much to be thankful about, and I know that I have written as an encouragement in those cards that as soon as I think of their names in prayer, my first response is to say, Lord, I just thank you. And it's just that sometimes I write people, I'm like, you know, when I think of you in prayer, the first thing that comes to mind is, Lord, I just thank you so much for him, so much for her. You know, there's so much to be thankful for about that brother. So much to be thankful for about that sister. So I know it's got to be an encouragement to hear, you know, when he first thinks of me in prayer, he thanks God for me. That's a good thing. I think I got my notes mixed up. You're thinking I'm pausing for a reason here. But I want to look in 2 Thessalonians here. Here in our passage, at why Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, and that's going to be the we that we see in the passage here, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, why they give thanks to God for the brethren. So let's look at chapter 2, and maybe a brother would read for us loudly and just in place. Read verses 13 and 14. Okay, thank you. First off, would you just notice this? It says, brethren, beloved by the Lord. And I just bring this to our attention just to consider afresh tonight. Brethren, brothers and sisters, do you know you are beloved by the Lord? What a nice thing. You know, you are beloved by the Lord. We could just think about even names. Like, say, Mike, you know, you're beloved by the Lord. Phil, you know, you're beloved by the Lord. What a nice thing for us to consider these things. Diego, you too. Beloved by the Lord. How nice it is for us to recognize that. But more as it applies to our thoughts this evening, do we know that our brothers and sisters are beloved by the Lord? So, I mean, it's good for me to recognize it's nice. I'm beloved by the Lord. But then for me to recognize, you know what? All of you, as my brothers and sisters, you are all beloved by the Lord. So yes, it's nice that I'm beloved by the Lord, but how should it impact me to recognize that all my brothers and sisters, all of you, are beloved by the Lord? And now back, though, to our investigation of why Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy give thanks for their brethren. He says, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. And the verse is going on to say that this was accomplished through the setting apart work of the Holy Spirit. That's really what sanctification means. It happened, the salvation happened through the setting apart work of the Holy Spirit and by belief in the truth. And they were called to this through the gospel. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are giving thanks for their brethren regarding their salvation. And if I may suggest, I will simply put it this way. They are thankful that they are saved. They're thankful that they're saved. This evening, as I look at you all, when I'm thinking about Thanksgiving, I am thankful that you all are saved. Well, I expect it to be that way. Perhaps there's one who's not yet saved in our presence. But as I look at your faces, all of you mostly familiar, I say, I'm thankful that you are saved. And I am so glad and I rejoice that I am saved. Oh, yes. And I am thankful for my salvation. But ought I not also to be very thankful and full of joy for your salvation? You know, I think about sometimes at the breaking of bread, as we come together to worship and to praise the Lord and to remember by taking the bread and the cup, every once in a while it just kind of hits me as I sit there and I'm grateful for my salvation and what He's done for me. And then sometimes, if I'm at Kenilworth, I'm always way up in the front, so it's not as easy. It's easier to do when you're back. You look up and you see all of your brothers and sisters and you just say, you know, they've all been saved too. All my brothers and sisters, as we gather together, they've been saved. How thankful I am as I look at so-and-so, and as I look at so-and-so, and especially as I look at family, right? Sometimes that even kind of grips you more. My little nephew, Gavin, he just got saved last week. He's 4. We're just so happy about it. So, I mean, to rejoice in the salvation of our brothers and sisters, how nice that is. And I just think about, sometimes it comes to mind that, you know, here we are gathered together, and it's nice to be with brothers and sisters and to see your faces and spend some time with you, and that you're saved, and we have one Lord together, we're of the same body together. Well, you know, we have all eternity. Just waiting to start where you and I, all of us together, all saved, will just go on into the ages. Time won't even be counted anymore. No one's going to even think of what a year is or a decade. It's just eternity. And you and I, saved, spending it together. What joy that I will see you there, you know? How thankful I am of that. And so as I go into prayer for my brothers and sisters, I always have reason to give thanks. Even Amy, who I mentioned earlier, yes, she has grieved the Spirit of God, and perhaps she's even quenched Him in her life. And she continues in sin, and she just does, she's so self-destructive, so damaging to herself. She brings great sorrow into my heart as I think of her. Every time I pray, it's just, that's the way it is. Not so easy to come before and say, I give thanks for this person. But how I ought to give thanks to God always for her. She's one beloved by the Lord. Isn't that sweet? Recognize that here, this one is beloved by the Lord, giving thanks to God for her. Because God from the beginning chose her for salvation. And indeed, I am thankful for her salvation. I'm thankful she's saved. She's my sister in the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. So already we have a challenge this evening. We ought to be praying for one another, giving thanks to God concerning one another's salvation. Now we want to consider something that may challenge us in a much broader sense. Would you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1? And maybe I'll ask another brother to read loudly for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Okay. Now, if we were to go back into these previous verses of chapter 1 here, leading up to these verses we just read, we'd find much of the same language that we just read from 2 Thessalonians earlier. In verse 4, if you look there, we see the phrase, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And you remember that that was part of the language we read before. Remember, because God beforehand chose you. Then look at verse 6, if you look at that. In verse 6, we have presented to us that we are accepted in the Beloved. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking to myself as I was looking at this, no wonder we're beloved by the Lord, because we're in the Beloved. We're in the Beloved. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Beloved. What did the Father say about His Son, right? The heavens opened up, right? And a dove came down and alighted upon Him, and He said, this is My Beloved Son. And we are in Him. We're in the Beloved. So no wonder. I mean, we know God's love for His Son. No wonder He loves us so much, because we are in the Beloved. It's amazing, though, even before we are in the Beloved, right? For God so loved the world. And that's that same word, Beloved. It's amazing love. In verse 6, we have presented to us that we're in the Beloved. And then, in verse 13, we have the word of truth, the gospel and salvation, and even the subject of glory. And all of these things were in 2 Thessalonians, for which Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were all thankful for in their brethren. In other words, for their salvation. And then verse 15, we have a therefore. We have a therefore. Therefore, after all that stuff, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And I would suggest again, at least in part, the reason for Paul's giving thanks for the brethren in Ephesus is because of their salvation, because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. Ah, but there's more. There's more, isn't there? What do we see? What do we see there as the reason for Paul's thankfulness in addition to this? Your love for all the saints. Paul's thinking about them. You imagine he's there, I don't know, is he on his knees, stretched out in bed, I'm not sure. You just think about him there praying. And as he thinks of the saints in Ephesus, he just can't help but give thanks for them because of their love for all the saints. What a wonderful thing to give thanks for, to have someone being giving thanks to God for you on account of something like that. We have a beautiful challenge laid before us here. To our brothers and sisters, as they think of us and pray for us, do they find themselves thanking God for us on account of the love that we have for all the saints? What a wonderful thing this would be for you and I. You know, someone were to think of us in prayer. They were just to say, you know, thank God for that brother or that sister, the love that they have. Not to kind of make our hearts a little stirred up and want to be that kind of person. You know, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. When people name me, of course, this shouldn't be our motivation that, you know, ultimately we want to glorify God. But, you know, but we should desire that. We should desire that when people think of us in prayer, that they're thankful for us. And they're thankful for the love that we have for all the saints. Let's see this again, shall we? Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Maybe another brother would read for us verses 3 and 4. Okay, here it is again. Here it is again. And here it is as a challenge before us again. Oh, that you and I, brothers and sisters, would abound in love toward one another. Just abound in it. I love the Thessalonians. We're going to get to that next. But the Thessalonians, Paul writes to them and he says, you know, that you love the brethren. You love them. They already have a love for them. But then he says what? Abound more and more. That's a great thing to consider, that you and I could have a love for one another. But the instructions from the Lord and His Word would tell us, oh, abound though, more and more, abound more and more in your love. Oh, that we would abound in love toward one another and have such a love for one another that when others think and pray for us, they just effortlessly rise up to God, our Father, in thanksgiving for us. How beautiful is that? Effortlessly. Just think of our name and thankfulness rises up to God. For one last verse, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. As I said, we were going to go there. We're going to see our challenge broaden even more. And maybe another brother would read for us chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. And you could read one more.
Knowing beloved brethren, your election by God.
Okay. Now I could go a little bit, and even some of the verses after, talking about the gospel, the word, and that language as well as like our other language, just being thankful for the calling, for our salvation. But there's more here. You've already thought on how Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were thankful for the salvation, for the faith in the Lord Jesus that their brethren had. But now is the work of faith. Now is the work of faith. And that's a bit different. We can go back to my friend, our sister Amy. And I can thank God for her salvation. I can thank God for her faith in the Lord Jesus. But I would not be able to thank God for her work of faith, for at this time it seems like there isn't any. I know that some say, this gets into this very controversial subject matter of, then is she really saved? There's no works to make evident the salvation, is she really saved? You know, it might be a good thing for her to question. But there's also that admonition to the Christians not to quench the Spirit. So that, I believe, can happen. It happened in my own life. And so when the Spirit is quenched, there's really no good works to see coming out of the life of a believer. So it's kind of hard to give thanks then for the work of faith when at this time there seems to be none coming from her. Brothers and sisters, does our faith have works? Are others able to see our work of faith and therefore be thankful for us because of it? And then there is the labor. We have the work, now we have the labor of love. And when we look at ourselves, are there labors that we are undertaking on account of the love that we have? Just take a quick look at your life, you know? Now take a look at mine. Can anything come to mind, a labor that we are engaged in, that we are undertaking, and it is a labor, it's being motivated by love. Is there anything in our lives like that? And this love is self-sacrificial. A self-sacrificial love is being spoken of here. That's the kind of labor of love that is being given thanks for here, a love that labors in a self-sacrificial way. Are we laboring among our brethren in such a way? And if we are, I'll tell you how thankful they are for us. Eh? How thankful they are. I'm thankful for those who labor in love. And the one last of the three there is patience of hope. And that's a little, just to read it that way, it's kind of hard to really lay hold of what that means. This is the idea of a cheerful endurance. Have you ever heard of a cheerful endurance? Those just don't seem to go together. A cheerful endurance, but that's what's being spoken of here. A patient continuance that is resting itself, supported by, upheld by hope. The hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do our brethren see us? They see in us a cheerful endurance. Or rather, what would be the opposite of that? I haven't thought about too much about that. What might be a complaining spirit, maybe? Maybe we endure, but boy, does everybody know. Everyone knows we're enduring it. It's difficult. It's tough. And I'm going to let everyone know about how much I have to complain about this. Or is there a cheerful endurance because of the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, we're to consider him, right? To consider him who endured such hostility against himself, right? From sinners. Cheerfully, almost, we could say, endured for the joy that was set before him, right? That hope, that joy before him. Well, these things were evident enough for others to notice and to be thankful for in Thessalonica. And brothers and sisters, ought we not want them to be clearly evident in us as well? There's one last person I'm going to mention. It's this guy Philemon. I've heard some pronounce him Philemon. I don't know. I always grew up Philemon. Well, Philemon, there was a great thing that Paul said about Philemon. I just love what it says about him. He had a lot of good things. He even gave thanks for Philemon. And he used this phrase. He says, "The hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." And what a nice thing to say. Have someone, you leave someone's house, some brothers and sisters you've been fellowshipping with, and they, after you leave, they say, "You know, my heart is really refreshed after visiting with her or with him." And I thought about that phrase. I looked at Wiest as he talks of how he kind of expands that word, that Greek word, and it carries this idea. The hearts of the saints have been cheered and revived by you, brother. And I guess that's the kind of idea of someone who we're thankful for, who is just so easy to give thanks for, someone who comes into our presence, who we fellowship with Sunday after Sunday, who cheers and revives us. Someone to be thankful for. So it's Thanksgiving. We have so very much to be thankful for. May we purpose in our hearts to mature in our faith so that we can all be ones for whom others are so very thankful for. God will help us in this. There'd be no other way for us to accomplish this, would there? So may we go to him and we simply draw near to our great Heavenly Father and petition him. Father, help me. Help me to be one for whom my brethren are easily thankful for. Help me to love in such a way. Make increase my work of faith, my labor of love, and my patience of hope. May these things abound so that I can be an encouragement to my brethren and to better serve them and you and to even be a source of joy and cheer for them. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do have so much to be thankful for, and we just ask that as your word challenges us this evening, that we would be of such the sort that people would actually give thanks for us. And we have every reason, no matter what the reason is, that people are, brothers and sisters are struggling in their lives, we have at least one reason to give thanks, and that's to give thanks for their salvation. Just that they're our brother and our sister, that they're saved. But help us to go well beyond that. Help us to be the kind of people who people are thankful for because of our love, because of our work of faith, our labor of love, and our cheerful perseverance, endurance. Help us to be of this sort. We need your help, Father, to be like this. It just would be great if each of us individually or corporately, you know, people came away from this place in Belmar if they came for a visit, and they just thanked you, O God, for all that we're here. And you know what, Father? I do that right now. I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here. I pray that you'd encourage them and strengthen them. And we just ask all of these things, our Lord Jesus, in your name and for your name's sake. Amen.